The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Judeans gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Tell us plainly. It's the cry of the Judeans as they surround Jesus. Just tell us already if you're the Messiah. No more beating around the bush. No more answering questions with questions, telling a parable. Just tell us. I imagine we've all had this reaction towards someone in our lives, haven't we? Tell us plainly. Give it to us in a nutshell. It's the simple yes or no answer that debaters and journalists seek. It's the simple answers we want as citizens, to be told that the wall will fix all of our immigration problems, that universal health care will solve all of our health care problems, that we can have all the amenities in our city without our taxes going up. And we reward those folks by electing them. Because we don't want to hear about rules and regulations and other complexities making this cost more, or things having to be done this way because until the creek rises close to our homes because someone upstream didn't follow the rules that forced them to consider those downstream. But how often are things in life really that simple anyway? I would imagine that most of us have also had that moment when someone spoke about how simple it would be to solve a problem in our area of expertise. Well, you can just, all you have to do is, well, you just tell them that. But because of our knowledge and years of experience in that field, from walking in that arena, we know it isn't that easy. That to do this one simple thing means changing three or four other things, or adjusting this, or it's going to throw off 12 things, or even that simple thing really is impossible. So if we know that the plain and simple answer is often the one that is at best unnuanced and at worst wrong, why do we continue to ask for it? Maybe it's because it gives us an excuse not to think, not to engage in the process of working something through completely, or because it means having to trust someone other than us, that they know what is best in this particular situation, that they might actually have some expertise or insight beyond our own. Whatever it is, we all too often are like the Judeans. Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? For all kinds of reasons, the Judeans' cry is our own cry, isn't it? How many times have you asked, at least in your head, okay, Jesus, why can't you just tell us plainly? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? But Jesus demurs. I have told you by my actions, but you do not believe. And would it make any difference if Jesus had spoken plainly, had suddenly just said, "Yep, I am the Messiah"? Would the Judeans have suddenly seen all that he had done in a far different light and turned to him, kind of had that, "I should have had a V8 moment, right? Well, okay then, we're all for you." No, I suspect they would have found some other way to convince themselves that Jesus was not who he said he was, because he didn't match what they understood a Messiah to be, because he asked too much of them by his actions. What if faith is not about clear answers, but about traveling with Jesus, accompanying him on the way? The shepherd who guides us to still waters and meadows of green grass, but who also takes us through dark valleys where death is ever present, who leads us into the presence of our enemies, but who also sets a table before us in their very presence. And if we think about it, can we speak plainly, simply about the creator of all that exists? Can we speak in a way that encompasses the totality of who that God is? Can we speak plainly and simply about the God made flesh? The God, human one, who is Jesus Christ, and capture the fullness of what that means? Can we speak plainly, simply about the presence of suffering in our world? That's why when I post a response to the questions that you gave me from Doubting Thomas Sunday, I say that I will begin to respond to the question. I don't say that I will give you an answer, because the questions you ask are deeper than that. A plain answer might satisfy our need to keep things neat, but it does not do justice to the reality of those questions. Now, on the other hand, complexity in and of itself is not more authentic or true than something that's more straightforward, but in most cases, complexity does tend to describe reality better. And ignoring that reality can be dangerous, both to us and to others. Jesus' response to the Judeans leads us to the reality of how we get past this need for the plain, simple answer. My sheep hear my voice. I know them because they accompany, they follow me. It's in the experience of the journey that we encounter who Jesus is, that we get to know the voice of the Savior enough to hear him calling, even through the noise of our modern lives. We learn the truth of who Jesus is when we accompany him bedside with a sick woman, as he touches her hand, heals her, and lifts her up. We learn the truth of who Jesus is when we are close enough to see him refuse to condemn a woman caught in the very act of adultery. We learn the truth of who Jesus is when we sit at table with him as he shares bread and laughter with sinners and tax collectors and all kinds of people who we probably wouldn't want in our church. It's in the journey that we experience the complexity of who God is through the life of Jesus. It's in this time together, journeying even to places we do not want to go, that we begin to understand the fullness of who God is, that God is bigger than our pat answers, that God's love is wider than our imaginations, that God's ways are not our ways, but that ultimately God is for us. We learn these things as we return each week to this table and hear the stories of all that Jesus has done, as we hear the stories of God's relentless pursuit of God's people, from freeing the Israelites enslaved in Egypt to the prophets speaking hard but plain truth that they were turning from God by ignoring widows and orphans, by mistreating those who were alien in their lands, by worshiping other gods. We learn who Jesus is by spending time in prayer, day after day, year after year, listening for the voice of the shepherd, that we might follow Jesus on the journey it's this kind of journey that Beckett Glenn O'Rourke will enter into today at the next service. One at first aided by his parents, who will usher him into the presence of the shepherd on a daily basis, so that Beckett might learn the voice of the one who claims him in baptism, that he might know the comfort of the one who knows every hair on his head. Tell us plainly. Okay. Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of God, who came not to lead us to victory, to rule the world, to have painless lives filled with leisure and comfort, but who came so that we might have life fuller and more abundant than life without Christ. So that we might become citizens of the kingdom of God, a kingdom where the hungry are fed, the sick are healed, the poor are clothed and sheltered, a kingdom built on the same selfless agape love that God has shown us in and through Jesus Christ. God leads us to be that, to do that, to live that. But having stated that, does it change anything? Or might it be true that, as one author puts it, the knowing Jesus offers is an incarnational knowing, a knowing that happens within and among the fold on the journey. Because the belief Jesus is interested in has little to do with our intellect and our head knowledge, or perhaps it is better expressed, the belief Jesus is interested in exceeds our intellect. To believe in the gospel sense means to trust, to lean on, to depend, to throw my lot in with, to journey with, and to accompany. And what that means is that faith is not a moment, but a process, a journey with our shepherd. Wherever you are on this journey with Jesus, may you have faith that gives you courage to follow where the shepherd leads. May you receive what you need. Still waters, a companion through death's dark valley, and may you take the time to be still and listen. Listen for the voice of the shepherd. That voice that speaks to you and says, "Come, follow me."